Hey, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the MobileCast. I'm your host, Brian Katz, and we're coming to you live from Mobile World Congress 2016. And I am delighted to be sitting here with Nirav from Android Authority, who I would not attempt to pronounce his last name unless I really wanted to make fun of him. But Nirav, he's a long friend of mine. Introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit, including your last name, so people get it right.
Hey, guys. It's Nirav Gondia. Brian wouldn't have got that right. But I think, who agrees that we should next time just get him to try, just because I think it would be funny. Yeah, I work for Android Authority, and I know Ryan wants me to talk about this, but I've been in this business about 10 years. I didn't start with Android Authority. Only joined Android Authority less than a year ago. And I look after the UK and a lot of the back-end stuff that people don't actually see. And before that, this is my seventh MWC, and before that, I ran my own site. It was a UK-focused site. We did well, but I always said that, you know, you're always inhibited by the knowledge you have, and the experience you have is what allows you to grow to a certain point. So you can't get to 40 million doing it yourself unless you've experienced what a 40 million per month operation runs like, a 50 million. So that's why I gave that up and joined Android Authority. And yeah, me and Brian have been talking for many years out of a love for Man United.
Yeah, so we bonded over on Twitter over a love of Manchester United, the high points, and these days the low points. we both share a lack of love for Mr. Van Gaal, but we hope he'll be out by the end of the year. But, you know, let's dive in, because this is the last day of the show. We wanted to do a recap. I thought it would be awesome to bring you on because you're a little bit different. We've had we started with Carolina Milanese, who did the day zero. You know, some of the announcements went more from, you know, she's from Contact World Panel. She did it from a different viewpoint. We had Sasha Segan from PC Mag. We had Nick McGuire from CCS Insight, who does their enterprise stuff. Eric Klein, who VDC Research. And now we're getting you, who's completely different. You're all consumer. You're Android focused. And to be fair, Apple doesn't show up here, although sometimes their effect does. What have been your highlights of the show? What are you seeing? What's standing out to you? What's making you fall in love with this stuff all over again?
Well, it helps to be a geek. That's the first thing, because if you're a geek, there's no better place than Mobile World Congress, especially if you have a love for these shiny phones. And I will say that before we can talk about the highlights from, say, you know, the smaller companies, the ones that we never expected to see here, we've got to address a couple of things. And there's one thing I would happily say. First, let's talk about the two big announcements from Sunday. We had
Android announcements.
They're the big Android announcements. When I say announcements, I mean, you know, the consumer-focused phones. A lot of the enterprise stuff, most consumers won't see, but the phones are the stuff that you're going to end up using for the next 6 months. And we start off with LG, who've done this whole new modular design. They've tried to be different. Rather than be, oh, you know, they've approached metal in a way that no one else has. They've got a removable battery. They haven't let a switch to a different build affect their core strategy, that you shouldn't have to make a compromise between battery, expandable storage, etc. Unfortunately for LG, this is the year that Samsung has really perfected its change that it introduced last year with the Galaxy S6 and the S6 Edge.
Well, let me pause you there. Let's go back to LG for a second. I think it's innovative. The design's nice. Is anybody going to buy an accessory? And you know, I'll give you, I like the Lumias, Nokia Lumias. Beautiful phones. The was it the 1050, the camera one, or
1020?
1020. Gorgeous phone. I have it. I may have one of the only camera grips in the U.S. No one was buying them. They're nice. It gave you an extra battery. If you wanted an extra battery, you did. Are people going to actually buy the accessories?
You know, it's when you. I will agree. It's very innovative what LG have done. I will say one thing, and this is why I was going to Samsung for a second, and because it's all very, when you look at this from a consumer perspective, it's quite interesting. It all works in peaks and troughs. Last year, Samsung went for the biggest change in their history. They went to metal, glass, beautiful design, screwed it up pretty badly. In terms of, yes, they sold some, but there were a lot of compromises, which they didn't expect.
Well, I would say that they screwed it up based upon their base and their messaging before that. One could say they went more Apple-like, no expandability, you couldn't take the battery out, which were all things they sold, and they changed their messaging. Well, we can charge in half the time. You know, it's all about how we message what we do.
I agree. So what? So what's what LG have done this year is the same as Samsung. So when you look at the modular design of the G5, you really have to be you really have to look at the fact that it's not necessarily about the G5. To answer your question, are people going to buy accessories? The only one I can see that I would have, that I would personally buy, is the camera grip. Because it's got the physical keys. It's also got a little roller wheel, which is for the zoom. The camera grip is really well designed. It adds another 1,200 mAh battery, so it becomes a 4,000 mAh battery. And more than anything, it makes the thing really easy to use for photos. So if you're going to use your phone for photos, you're going to want the camera grip. But what we will say is, are people going to buy the G5 in general? This is difficult because, unfortunately for LG, if LG had launched the G5 last year, at the exact same time that Samsung went through their troubles, the G5 would have sold in bucket loads. Unfortunately for LG, Samsung have taken the S7 and the S7 Edge and close to perfected the phone.
Put the expandability back in.
The waterproofing, the huge, the humongous batteries. We're talking 3,000, 3,600 milliamp-hour. This is some serious battery power here. This is going to get you through the day. But if you look at, when you're in this industry for a few years, one thing you realize is it all works in patterns. And next year, Samsung can't just keep the same design because people will grow stale of it. So next year, Samsung have to innovate again. And it's very similar, and I hate to say this, being an Android person, to the iPhone and the full version and the S year. Because as they introduce a new change, it takes a year to perfect it. So where next year, I predict that we're going to see Samsung change the S8. The S8 will have some different elements to it. And it won't be as good as, say, the S9 because it takes a while to get to there. However, good thing for LG, next year they'll have really figured out the quirks of the modular design to make that the phone to have next year.
So here's the real question, and you live this and I don't. When we look at this, does it matter? And what I mean by that is I look at what Samsung's done, I look at what LG's done, and I look at the numbers, and if I take them all and I add all the high-end together, it's actually dropping. As a total, it's dropping, and I'm looking at Android right now, and one of the things I worry about when I see it is there's not enough the high-end space is actually just getting smaller. And in reality, most of the high-end space has a top-end phone. Apple owns that market for better or for worse. And some of the lesser models are just, they're more than good enough.
I agree. There is really no reason for 90% of the world to go and buy the flagship. Because the good thing about technology is the trickle-down effect. You could go and buy, and I've got to give credit to Xiaomi here. It might only be available in China, but the Xiaomi Mi 5 brings incredible specs. We're talking the latest Qualcomm processor, we're talking 4GB of RAM, we're talking crazy design, and it costs about less than half the cost of the Galaxy S7. And they pulled off a fell swoop because they waited till everyone was done. Yesterday morning, so we're talking Wednesday morning, they announced the phone in a press conference, and then they put it on show at the Qualcomm booth and told people it was in the Qualcomm booth. There was a queue at Qualcomm for the entire day to have a play with that phone.
I believe
it. To use it.
And although today's the day to go look, you know, the show, not as many people here on a Thursday. A lot of people have left this morning and also easier to get around. But is that an issue where, you know, we see people like, you know, Xiaomi, as much as they're trying to get out of China, we are seeing them have issues with that. They didn't hit the number that they wanted. They had said they would hit at least 80 million. They only hit 70. You see a lot of regional things. So we had some, Sasha Segan was talking about the fact that, you know, Wiko and a few others, and, you know, there are a couple regionals in Europe, there are a couple regionals in other places that are really up and coming and taking away from Samsung, LG, Lenovo. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing very similar. And the problem there is that for someone like Xiaomi to really compete with someone like Huawei, the biggest asset that Huawei has isn't its mobile division. The reason it's managed to get such traction in mobile is because it already has partnerships with just about every carrier in the world. It builds all their technology. And, you know, I like to be a conspiracy theorist at times, and I could easily say that the ranging of products is a conversation that's no doubt been addressed while discussions are happening about network infrastructure. Hey, here's some network infrastructure, but we've also got this, that, and the other. And, you know, whether it would never be public information, but sure. At the end of the day, companies like Xiaomi aren't completely unknown quantity. And I like them. I've got a couple of Xiaomi devices imported at home. Really great. But for them to get out of... I was having a conversation with one of their people yesterday. And I was like, when are you going to bring this outside? He's like, we're having a lot of problems. And I went, I can guarantee your biggest issue is carrier adoption. He's like, yep. But they've also got to go through stringent certification.
They have to go through the certification in the U.S., in Europe, everywhere else. You know, look, I remember, you know, take you back a few years. I remember when I got the Nokia E61. You know, Symbian S60, all that stuff on it. I had to buy an English version. And we had a place that would import it. It worked just fine on AT&T, which is who I had at the time. No problems, but English dictionary, English keyboard, you know, a few tweaks, I would say, you know, compared to the U.S. keyboard. But, you know, and the same thing. I remember being over in London in 2005 and picking up a Motorola Razr, a T-Mobile Motorola Razr for about half the price in the U.S. because I wanted an unlocked phone. Because I traveled a lot, and that was that thing. But let's get back to the show and the recap. So you got Samsung, beautiful device. LG, beautiful device. The booth that I actually work out of is right next to Sony. Anything from them that, you know... And then there was the ZTE reveal in, you know, downtown and a bunch of other... Anything else stand out to you? And, you know, whether it's Sony, ZTE, or any of the little ones. I mean, I actually went into the Wiko booth, and they're beautiful phones. They really are.
They are very beautiful phones. And this is the same with a lot of Chinese manufacturers. I got to say that if you are not a Chinese OEM, you should be very, very worried. Because going back to what we said earlier, the mid-range is the new flagship. Why would you spend, say, I use pounds, but I'll give you dollars. Why would you spend $700 when you can get an almost identical experience with the same level of, you know, the QA might not just be there. There might not be a local service center or something like that, but you're spending $250.
And if it breaks, you just buy another one.
Exactly. You're getting to a point where you could buy 2 to 3 of these exceptional phones for the same price as this really expensive phone. And we're seeing this growth. Like, Xiaomi wouldn't have done 70 million if there wasn't a demand for someone to revolutionize the way they do things. And Xiaomi has been great because it's then inspired others to do that. Moving on to what you said, other highlights. I will say one thing. Sony's new X series is enlightening for all the wrong reasons. And I like Sony products. I like them a lot. But there's two things we should know.
If you've ever followed Nirav on Twitter, he extols Sony products quite a bit. He's not lying. He really is a fan.
I like them. But there's two things. The X series really is the Z series. They think just changing the name is going to fix their problems. The biggest problem is they bought... The whole problem with the Z series is there's too many phones, you dilute the message. So they bought 3 new X series to Mobile World Congress. And they bought 3 very, very poorly built with incomplete software, things like the fingerprint scanner aren't working, to the place where all the journalists want to go and show off their product. That alone, companies need to realize that just changing the name doesn't fix the problems. A lot of problems are ingrained within the structure, the way a company works. And for Sony, they're going to need a lot more than a new X branding to really deliver it. And it's funny because Xperia X isn't new. If anyone's been around in this industry, one of my favorite phones of all time, even though it was really badly built, was the Xperia X1 running Windows Mobile back in 2009, 2010.
Weren't they Sony Ericsson still then? Or
Sony Ericsson. But at the same time, it's quite ironic that the Xperia X series from Sony Ericsson was atrociously built. It was still a lovely phone that people liked. And Sony's first Xperia X device is on show here. Granted, they're pre-production, they're prototypes, and the final product will be a lot better. Kind of have a lot of the hallmarks. You're like, ooh. You could have gone with a complete different branding. Go Xperia. Just go Xperia. Go back to the days of the Xperia Arc and things like that. The days when, you know, you don't need X1, X Performance, XA. You just need, here is the Xperia Arc. Here is...
So let's move from Sony to, you got ZTE, you got HTC, you got Lenovo, more the fringe of the first tier. Okay. And they're not all fringe. Some of them are definitely first tier, but you know, you're right at that level before we really get to that second tier of...
ZTE, they do well. Their phones are always loved. They're brilliantly built. You know, there's not much you can say about ZTE. They're good phones. They'll get traction. The Axon series does relatively well. I don't know the exact figures off the top of my head. And, you know, the ZTE series is... People, they're growing. They may not be growing as fast as they want. They are growing. Lenovo, I checked it. They only had some tablets. I like Lenovo products. They're pretty good. But it's nothing worth... They're not really a highlight. They're a blip, if anything. HTC. And I've got to say this, because I was looking at Vive earlier today. It's quite funny that HTC, you know, their mobile strategy has struggled really badly. And they can't seem to get the mobile right at the moment. Since the days of the 1X series, your first one, HTC One, the M7, beautiful phones, and then it all went downhill. But for those who think that HTC might be on a fast track to, say, certain death, Vive is the winner. I expect HTC to be leaders in VR. And
more than Samsung with their VR, with the, you know, with their partnership with Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook.
Yeah.
Why?
Because if you use the Gear 360, which is what they announced, the VR camera.
Yeah, I went next door. I did get to play with it.
It's nice. You can do the live streaming. It's brilliant. And the Gear VR headset is good, but it puts your phone inside. But, you know, this is rudimentary. This is just VR. It's just basically a headset with your phone. You could do the same without the headset and just have your phone next to your face.
Well, Google Cardboard does it with Cardboard.
Exactly. Vive is about really understanding VR. It's about the sensors. And, you know, at a cost of $800 for the entire kit, and we looked at the component, the individual recommended components, you could have it for $650 to build your own PC capable of running Vive. Any PC works.
But how's this going to compare to the Oculus?
It's a tough one because we don't know for sure, but...
Which is cheaper.
It's definitely cheaper, but with something like VR, it's in such infancy that if you want a true VR experience, VR isn't about, here's a headset, stick a phone inside it, you can do some funky stuff and it looks... looks immersive. VR is his real virtual reality. And if you check out Vive, it's phenomenal. You put it on, you don't want to take it off. You put that Vive or headset on.
So what you're saying is you're part of the Wally world.
Quite literally. But I think we knew that before we started this, let's be fair. It's HTC's future is VR. And I'm really happy for them. Because they can make exceptional products when they want to. And I think they got stale of the mobile market. And the funny thing is, just going back to what you mentioned at the beginning, yes, the whole mobile market is stagnating massively. What's next? Virtual reality.
VR and AR are absolutely going to be big. I do agree with that. Although we're doing the recap, I want to ask the question just because I have you here. What are you seeing as far as Apple? I don't mean their devices. Although you're Android, I know you you do play with iPhones.
Oh, I play with every phone on the market.
You play with everything on the market. I'll be interested to see what you think of the new HP Windows phone, but that's a whole other thing, two in one. But is it borne out that part of why we're also seeing some of that stagnation that we were talking about before with the flagship Androids is, A, you can get an equivalent of flagship for about half the price, but also, you know what? If I'm going to move up from that mid-tier, I know what I'm getting in iOS, and if I'm willing to buy into that ecosystem, that Apple ecosystem, which can be tough for some people, but not everybody's a tech geek like you and me who do like to change their phone and do some stuff. do you see some of that? Because, you know, Apple does talk about the number of switchers. And I know some people do switch from Apple to Android. I see it as well. Google doesn't talk about that really as much. But I'm just curious what you...
I agree. Because at the end of the day, do you know, it's weird that as good as Android gets, Apple does, at the end of the day, it does with Android... You have to be willing to invest in customizing it to realize the power of Android. With iOS, there are so many people who just want to pick up the phone, download some apps, take, you know what, I will give them credit, some pretty damn good pictures.
And it works.
And it works. Unless, you know, you hold it the wrong way.
Well, but to be fair, look, we're talking about the old iPhones, absolutely. I think any of the new phones... You can block any antenna, but when we're talking the 6S or the 6 or the Galaxy S6, again, for God's sakes, couldn't they stay away from S's? You'd think, but you know, it's just kind of funny. You know, I look at that and I see those things, and if I were Samsung or LG, I wouldn't go after Apple. I would go after the other Android. I think that where you're going to pull share is from the other manufacturers. I don't think you're going to pull share away from Apple.
You will get... Look, every platform has its hardcore loyalists, without a shadow of a doubt. For many years, I was a Windows loyalist. Windows Phone loyalist. Windows Mobile loyalist.
Windows Mobile, not Windows Phone.
Windows Mobile loyalist. Massively.
It was the number one brand for years.
It was. It was, you know, having the ability to... It sounds stupid now, but to whip out a stylus, do all of this funky stuff, and I would say HTC HD2... HTC Sense, some of the best phone, some of the best experiences you'll ever find. But there is every platform has its each platform has a set of hardcore loyalists, and then the gray matter in between, the people who flip between depending on what marketing messages there are, what phone looks good, and that's the one everyone should target, because there are people who will. Remember, the hardest thing you could ever do is break perception of a phone. So, and I can know people who've had really bad Sony products, or, bad example, really bad low-cost Samsung Galaxy phones way, way, way in the back. And then they don't want to try the new ones because you have this, you associate a certain feeling with this brand that it's rubbish.
All it takes is one bad experience, whether you walk into a car phone warehouse, you're from the UK, for us it was Best Buy, it's all these other, or you walk into a carrier store and they don't have them set up right, or they don't cut, the experience out of the box. But let's get back to the recap, because, we promised 15 minutes and we may already be over, but you're not ready to stop talking, so I'm not going to stop you. You're wearing a smartwatch on your right wrist. You're wearing a fitness band on your left wrist. And there are more booths than you can shake a stick at with one or the other. Or, I mean, I took a picture. I don't know if I tweeted it out. Guess is here with, Guess, who makes clothing, makes a smartwatch now. And it's, what are you seeing? What do you expect? Where do you see this market going? If at all, anything stand out at the show? And knowing that, right now this market's out, it's Apple and Fitbits. And, there's some people who are buying, some people buy the Galaxy Gear, some people are buying the Moto 360 or whatever, but it's not, they're either buying a Fitbit or they're buying an Apple Watch.
It's telling, and we'll wrap this up relatively, but I'll say it's very telling that the Apple Watch sold more in the first weekend than Android Wear did in a whole year before it. We're talking a million. It took Android Wear over a year to hit a million. Apple hit that in a weekend, a sales, which says a lot. Where do I think this is going? I mean, I've written about this already. Android Wear needs to change massively to adopt multiple form factors, to allow customization. Otherwise, it's boring. Like, when there's a new Android Wear product, I really don't care. That's me being completely frank. And I'm completely honest, and I say this on Twitter all the time, I just don't care. Because I know the software hasn't changed enough to make actually excite me. Yeah, I use a Gear S2, which runs on Tizen. And if there's one thing Samsung got right, it's we can't use Android. Because by going for the Gear S2, the bezel and everything, they've got a unique, customized experience. And Apple have learned one thing. When you control the hardware and the software, you can create exceptional experiences.
And I guess the question is, do you see Samsung being able to capitalize on that? Or is it just because it's either an Apple Watch or it's a fitness band?
I think we'll see growth for the Gear S2. Maybe not in its current form. Maybe the next version. But there are
so maybe next year when we do another one of these recaps.
Exactly. We may not see the Gear S2 become the hottest product on the market, but I know a lot of people, even those with iPhone, because you know this, the Gear S2 is soon going to support the iPhone later this year. They're gonna. It's gonna provide the real credible alternative.
Yeah, and Android Wear currently supports the.
Well,
they say it does. What's the hottest product you've seen here? Two things. What's the hottest product that you think's the hottest product? What do you think the hottest product that the market's going to think? Because as much as I love the Samsung Galaxy S7, I don't think that I think they'll do better than the S6. I don't necessarily think they're going to do much better than the S6.
I think once people play with it, I would say the hottest product for me is the Vive. I really like the Vive. It's not new. It was at CES.
It's what you buy for yourself.
It's what I buy for myself right now. Although I am going to order an S7 Edge because I... Perfection.
You get your free headset when you do it, so...
The product that the market... I think the market's going to do, and I have to disagree with you here, I think the S7 Edge is going to fly off the shelf. I have, since Sunday, had over 400 messages going, G5 S7 Edge. I know which one I'm going for. And everybody agrees.
But were these people who were buying a flagship whatever, and it was just a question of the S7 or the LG or one of the other?
No, a lot of these people were like, we'll wait to see what comes at MWC, whether we're going to buy anything then or go with what's existing already.
Okay.
And the reviews and the hands-on and the customized experience that, you know, Samsung's done really well with the S7 Edge to go, we understand,
to be honest,
it.
I actually prefer the S7 to the Edge.
Really?
Well, the S6 was horrible feeling my hand, to be honest. The sharp edges kind of got me a little bit. I find the edges not to be as useful to me. And it felt nice. It wasn't the same. I liked the feel of it. I don't see as much use on the Edge technology. To me, I look at it more as a gimmick. I hate to say it that way. It just, well, you can see the little contacts on the side laid on the table. Number one, if I'm laying with glass on the table, I mean, I put a protection on. I have two phones here. This one is, and it really only because one has a Spanish SIM in it. But this one is minimally, other than I put a pocket on the back, minimally, but just enough to keep the glass off the table. And I do, you know, I've learned my lesson.
You know what I'll say very quickly? Because you've touched on something. The S6 Edge, really great. I mean, it was a concept. It was rubbish. With the S7 Edge, I found it actually... The widgets, the ability for third-party panels, being able to check my Twitter on the go, the latest news,
You found it worked better for you?
No, this is the new version. Yep. The updated Edge UX has uses, like being able to swipe across and just go, oh, look, I'm on the go, it knows I'm on the move, so it's going to change everything it displays me for my music, for things like that.
So next year when we're doing this and I... tweet you where you are, you'll actually know it and respond.
Yeah.
Versus this year where, you know, he's on British time, you know, which is sort of like Spanish time of, yeah, I'll see you then and I'm 5 or 10 minutes late and, you know, that's on a good day. But what was your favorite? So were there any other favorites for you outside of Android phone/device? Anything else jump at you out of the show?
Honestly, there were a few interesting things here and there, but nothing that made me go, wow.
And I'll tell you one thing that made me go, wow. The Cat S60 with the flare.
I apologize. That there is an exceptional idea and an exceptional phone.
And that's going to sell huge to anybody in a business that needs that. I would see that flying off the shelf because useful, simple. And FLIR, by the way, makes a beautiful plug-in for pretty much any phone. But being able to have it on and make a rugged device out of it and do what you want, gorgeous device.
I actually use FLIR cameras at home. I have 4 of them. When I'm away at trade shows, my house is protected by FLIR cameras. I know the guys really well. They do some stuff with Red Bull and the F1, which I saw in the Red Bull factory last year. That there is a phone... That is more than just a phone. It's a phone that you go, has a defined purpose.
It's a tool that you can see. Here's a reason for you to buy it. And Joe Schmo's not going to get it. But people who need that functionality are going to get. What's the worst thing you've seen in the show? We've talked about, you know, what stood out to you. What's the worst thing where you said, really? I can't even. So Sony, because you were disappointed.
Sony, because I'm...
Couldn't believe that they showed up with what they... with.
Well,
the
I'm just like, I don't get it. I get why you've done it, but I can't believe you haven't realized that your problems aren't just in the name of the phone.
And then getting outside of the big vendors, what was the most, really? There must have been something you said. Whether it wasn't sad, but just like, I can't believe somebody did that. Whether it's a... Yes, there are sex toy booths here. There are other booths here. Oh. Is there anything... You know, got to keep it clean because we're not going to take an explicit label. But is there anything that you saw that you just went, are you kidding me?
It's funny. This is the first year where I've been so busy, I've had very little time to actually check out the whole show. I barely left two halls, maybe three halls in total, because so busy. It's just, I don't know. Normally, I would do every vendor here. So I would say there are a couple. I can't remember the names. This is very bad. I'm one of those people that if I go, really, I forget who you are and I don't care straight away. If I will only remember the stuff that's important, not the bad stuff. It's like, what's the point?
Oh, that's cool. Rob, I want to thank you. I know we were going to do 15 minutes and we actually did half an hour here, probably just because we were having a good time. And what we'll do is we'll do one by Skype or something and do one a little more in depth. We'll talk Android because it's been awesome to have a different type of voice on here. And that's been wonderful. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much for having me.
And listeners, this is our last wrap-up from MWC, day 4, the last day of the show. And we'll have some more episodes for you next week.